Let's get in our starting place. Turn with us, if you would, today over in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 45, one verse, Isaiah 45:15. If you're willing and able, let's stand. Honor the reading of the Word of God today. Seems like our service is real somber this morning. Brother Mike, years ago, I tried to be a cheerleader and get things going higher, but maybe the Lord wants us to be right where we are at this moment in this service. Maybe He would have for us to really listen to what the Bible has to say about our trials and experiences. I come to find out the church is not the same every Sunday, but God's the same every day. And in Isaiah 45, verse number 15, Isaiah 45:15, if you're there with me today, say amen. The writer says, "Verily," or "surely, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Savior." Father, we love you today and we thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you let preaching be easy a few minutes. You'd let us be a blessing to your people. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. And God, we want to thank you was able to get up and come to church this morning. Thank you for these families that are so faithful to bring their children, their loved ones. We're ever grateful to you and indebted to you for your amazing grace. Thank you how good you've been to us now. In Jesus' name we pray and we ask you, amen. And amen. I would hope that if you underline things in your Bible or write in your Bible, you have this verse underlined, because now the fifth or sixth week we've been talking about the God that hides Himself. Or the God behind the scenes. We've seen Him, He's behind the scenes in the beginning. God spoke it all into existence. I'm glad God said and it came to be so. And matter of fact, not only did we find Him behind the scenes at the beginning, but we seen Him behind the scenes in the battle. You know, David, he had a great giant in his life named Goliath, but God gave David the victory. We must never forget all of our victories come through Christ. His strength that strengthens us. I'm glad I'm on the winning side this morning. And so we've seen God behind the scenes in the beginning, in the battles, and in the blessings. Oh my goodness, even though we put our best foot forward, we've applied ourselves, but yet it's the God behind the scenes that has blessed us. Allowed heaven to open over us, and I'm grateful for that. Then with Nicodemus, there's a God behind the scenes in the birth. Jesus said, "You must be born again." I believe Nicodemus got saved because you find him around the tomb of Jesus begging the body of Christ. Something happened to Nicodemus. Can I tell you, we just didn't get saved upon our own efforts, but it had to be a God behind the scenes dealing with our hearts. And I'm glad He drew us, dealt with us, convicted us of our sin. Then last week, we dealt with God behind the scene of the blood. I'm glad it's still the blood this morning. You know, in this new woke society, people are so offended so easy. They don't want a preacher preaching on the blood, but it's still the blood of the Lord Jesus that saves people from their sin. But today, I want to preach just a few minutes on the God behind the scenes of our burdens. I've heard people say a lot of times, well, why does bad things happen to good people? Well, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. And so we know something in the text in Romans 8 and 28. I want to remind us of this before we get into that text. The God behind the scenes of our burdens. Romans 8 and 28. The Bible says, "For we know that all things..." How many's that? That's all of them. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. See, God works all things through our life to make us better. And certainly the God behind the scenes of our burdens. Now, let's look in this text. Turn to the right with me. Go over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter 1. I want to read a text and I want to dive right into this scripture this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 4. Preaching on God behind the scenes of our burdens. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go through our burdens alone? I'm glad there's a God that sees about us. So here Peter's writing and he says, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. I love this word, reserved in heaven for you. If you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to put your name right there. I'm glad we've got a reserved place. Then he says in verse number 5, we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8. Underline this in your Bible. It sure is a worthy verse. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The God behind the scenes. Having not seen, yet you love. Whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. So the God behind the scenes of our burdens. Notice in the text, verse number 5, there is a holding. He said, we're kept by the power of God through faith. I'm glad I don't keep myself. You know, we must apply ourselves. But honey, salvation is a finished work. I'm not holding on, hoping I'm going to make it. I'm kept by the power of God. It is a term used as a garrison. I'm glad God is stronger than you and I are. I'm glad He's stronger than the devil. I'm glad we're saved by grace through faith. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you could work your way into heaven, then you could work your way out of heaven. I'm glad I'm saved by the good grace of God. The finished work of Christ on the cross. We atone for our sin. Therefore, we can look to Calvary and be saved by grace through faith. So we see there is a hold. We are kept. Boy, I'm glad I'm safe with Jesus this morning. I'm not safe in religion. I'm not safe in church membership. I'm not safe in my water baptism. But I am very much safe in Christ because we're kept by the power of God through faith. You got to have faith to be saved. But God keeps us. And I sure am thankful of that this morning. So there's the hold. But then, secondly, look in verse number 6. Not only is there a hold, there's a happiness. He said, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You know, isn't it a blessing that we can rejoice in Christ? Have a hope that this world knows very little about. And here, as he's putting in this text, he says there is a happiness that we can greatly rejoice, or we have joyful experiences. Can I tell you something? Our joy does not come from a good feeling. Our joy does not come from having more toys or more property. But our joy comes through Christ that lives in us. And so the God behind the scenes of our burdens. Now watch the text. There's a hold. There's a happiness. But then there's a heaviness. You ever notice this in your Bible in verse 6? He says, you rejoice though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. Through manifold or variegated, different colored trials. There are a lot of Blue Mondays, Gray Tuesdays, Dark Fridays. And God says if need be, there will be a time in your Christian life that these trials must come. Now we know that God tempts no man. Only the devil tempts us. This word temptation means trial. It means a pressing down. It is a heaviness. Look at verse 6. If need be. Brother Boatner, one of the greatest preachers I've ever sat under and listened, who become my mentor in the faith, he used to say, I sure do hate it when those need be's show up. Somebody say amen this morning. And so here he said, if need be, if it is the best for me, then these things need to happen in my life to bring out a process that only these trials and troubles and tests can bring. I asked you this, why would trials come to you and I? I look around this morning, there's many people that's had many trials. Family, business, personal. We all have many trials, but I want to remind you that trials come for a reason. Why would trials come our way? I like what some of the old writers said. Trials are intended to make us think. You think about it. If everything was just happy-go-lucky every day and no issues, I like what Brother Gary says, they're not problems, they're opportunities. Amen. But if these opportunities didn't come, I tell you the reason they do come, because they make us think. And a lot of times when trials come, they're intended to make us think. Secondly, and I believe this with all of my heart, they come to wean us from off the world. We become too reliant upon things, on our finances. We come too reliant upon the world, but God will allow things to come in our life to wean us from the world, realizing that He's our everything, and He's the only thing that can fix it. Trials come. They intended to make us think. They come to wean us from the world. Thirdly, they come to send us to our Bible. You know, if we never had any issues or problems or opportunities, very little reading of the Bible would we take part of. But when these trials come, it takes us to our Bible, and that's a good place for it to take us to. We're not going to get any help off Fox News. We're not going to get any help much from the news outlets. But this is the greatest news that's ever been handed to us. And so our trials, many times, they come to send us to our Bible. Fourthly, and I believe it with all my heart, they come to drive us to our knees. When you and I have trials and troubles, it has a tendency to take us to God, to bow and pray and ask God to help us in these issues and these circumstances. Then one of the old writers, Brother Adams, said this. I'd never heard it, but it's so true. I don't like to use it, but it is a very true statement. He said, affliction is the best book in our library. Affliction is the best book in our library. I don't like pulling it off the shelf, but many times God pulls it off, puts it in our lap. And through those trials and those experiences, those pressed down measures, we learn things, first of all, a lot about who we are. We can't hold up under the pressure, but He can. We find out about us, and we find out a lot about Him, where He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so in this heaviness of these trials, then I want to ask this question today. Who shall speak to those hearts that are broken but those whose hearts have been broken also. Who can speak to those whose hearts are so broken and troubled? Those whose hearts have been broken also. A lot of you have been through things that, I'll be honest with you, as your pastor, I pray I never have to go through. Some of you have been through some deep, dark waters. A lot of you, you've had family to leave you. You've had mates to leave you. You've lost jobs. You've lost seemingly everything, children. But you must realize, and I must realize, that when we go through these things, they come for a reason, that we can help others. We can have words to say to help others come along life's way. I'm thankful for the older members of the church. You know, a lot of people, they just want a bunch of young people. I love old people. Why? Because I'm getting old myself. But one thing about older people, they have experiences. They've been tried. They've come through some things. And young people, you ought to use that in the great treasury of knowledge and wisdom. Somebody that you've seen make it through crises and trials, you can go to them and say, how did you make it? What can I do that it would help my life and my family? Thank God for the older people that's been through the storms of life. We were out here Thursday night. A big hailstorm came. It's been a long time since I've seen ice in the parking lot. And I began to think as I had this thought this morning, there's a lot of people, they've seen them storms. They've came through it. You know, as a kid growing up, my mother was terrified of storms. My dad was very stable. But they got me through the storms in life. As a little kid, he would let me know, well, we're going to make it. We've been through this. And I come to tell you, you that have been through a lot of things, aren't you glad there's a God that has carried you through it and you've made it by His grace and His purpose. And now you can reach out to somebody else that needs ministering too. I appreciate the older people in our church that have been through the storms that I've needed in my life, that I didn't have the answers for, but they would give me a word of encouragement and help. And so we must realize that these things come in our life for a reason. In this heaviness, it simply means this word in verse number 6, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That word simply means pressed down to the earth. Have you ever had a circumstance in your life that absolutely pressed you down to the ground? I mean, a low place. A lot of people, and I've heard this, the reason they say this because they've never read their Bible, well, they must have done something wrong. Something bad's happened to them. Let me tell you, that has nothing to do with it this morning. Trials are going to come to everybody. So I'll be real careful to say the reason this happened to somebody is because of this. We're not judge, neither jury today. There's a sovereign God in heaven that allows things to happen. And He's behind the scenes in our burdens to ensure us that we make it through in this life. And I'm glad He's ever present, but yet ever hidden. There's a young man called me this week and said, at work, a great disaster nearly happened, but I remembered that text that you said in Isaiah, there's a God behind the scenes. 3 weeks ago, me and Renee was traveling someplace. The phone rang. A young man came on the phone and said, preacher, God just showed me today that text you preached this morning. There's a God that hideth Himself, but yet He's always a-watching about all of His little children. You know, as much as I love my grandchildren, they don't know this much, but they'll have a four-wheeler. They'll go out of sight. They'll think I'm not listening because I know the sound of the motor, Brother Shane. Brother Adam, when it revs up, I know they're not acting right. I'll get on the back porch and I'll watch and I'll look, and they don't know I'm watching. But I'm watching. You know why I'm watching? Not to be mean to them and chew them out. I'm watching them because I love them. And there's a God that loves you this morning that's watching. And He sees about every one of us because it ain't nobody like our God today. God behind the scenes of our burdens.
Many times these trials come for a specific reason. Who shall speak to those whose hearts are broken, but those whose hearts have been broken also? But then notice, if you would, in the text, not only this happiness, this heaviness, but look at verse 7, the helpfulness. These trials come for a reason, that they help us progress in the Christian life. These trials are, they're what makes us who we are. The old saying, a faith that is never tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. Look what he says in the text, that the trial of your faith been much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. Here it is, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The helpfulness that they might be found. God tries us and He tests us. Turn to the right there in your Bible, a couple of pages to chapter 4, verse 12. I'm about done preaching, but I want you to see this verse. 1 Peter 4, verse number 12. He says, beloved, you know what that means? He loves you a lot. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. And we're all human. When these things come, it does make us think, don't it? It makes us shake our head and wonder. A lot of times we have no answers, but we've got anchors. He says, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. So think it not strange concerning these fiery trials as it's tried. Can I be real honest with you? I've wondered in my mind a lot of times why things has happened to me. God, I'm doing everything You've told me to do. Why these things happen? I've never really got any answers, but I'll tell you what I do have. I have the anchors. God loves me, and He's doing a work in my life and your life for His honor and His glory. As I look back, Brother Wallace, as hard things has happened at times, it's always left me different than how it found me. It's up to me that I could have a grateful heart and praise Him and thank Him and realize how good He's been to me in spite of those circumstances. Today, in this text, there is a hold, there's a happiness, there's a heaviness, but there's a helpfulness. Listen to this quote, as storms in nature are necessary to purify the air. This is so true. So trials are necessary to cleanse the atmosphere of the soul. Can I read that again? As storms in nature are necessary to purify the air, so trials are necessary to cleanse the atmosphere of the soul. Though it be tried with fire, that it might be found. In James chapter number 1, if you'll turn there to the left in your Bible, James 1, he says this, James 1 and 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or variegated experiences or trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. As I turn this morning, my last thought in this text of 1 Peter 1, our happiness, our heaviness, our helpfulness, that it might be found. There's a process that makes our faith stronger, our lights brighter. But yet in verse number 8, you'll see our hopefulness. This is an amazing text right here. Whom having not seen, you love. Isn't that amazing? Matter of fact, I've never met nobody like Jesus. I met Miss Renee in the 70s. You know why I fell in love with her? Because I saw her. But I've never seen him, but I love him more than anything in my life. It's amazing. It's amazing that men and women have boarded ships, went across dark, deep waters to tell the good news of the Lord Jesus, and they've never seen him, but they've met him by faith. Today, the hopefulness. Look what he says. Whom have you not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The old writer said this, always remember it. Joy from heaven, grief from the earth. Joy from heaven, but grief from the earth. Yet our hearts remain glad in spite of our trial. For we have something that goes a lot deeper than the flesh. It lives in our spirit and our soul. The love of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want Sister LaFonda, Miss Brittany, to come back and sing that song. Miss Sherry, come play. I'd love to tell you that I love when God has me to pull the book of trials out of the library. I don't like it. But a lot of times it's handed to me. And could we be a people that recognize from the Word of God that there is a God behind everything that will see us through all of our troubles and help us in our circumstances? Some of you, you ought to realize you've got some of the greatest ministries in this ministry because you've been through some things. You too can reach out and help others. You can have some words to say. I heard a young man the other day, he was talking. Said he loves to hear the older preachers preach because they have the experiences that they've seen God work through their people and their own lives. It's not just a story. It's an experience. Many of you have been through deep waters, but you'll have to agree with me. It's brought things out of us that only these things can do, that God would be pleased with in our lives, that we'd give Him all the praise and the glory. Brother Shane, yesterday there was a young man, I don't know if you remember him or not, but he come down the hill when we first got there. His hands were unusable. He had the biggest smile on his face, and the man riding with me said, you see that young man right there? He is through a great tragedy, but he's got the greatest attitude of anybody I've ever met. I don't like trials. Boy, I wish I could leave here, Brother Mark, and everything would just be perfect all week. But that's not life, is it? But I tell you what we can leave here with this morning, knowing there's a God behind the scenes that loves every one of us, and His watchful eye never removes from us. He's bringing forth. Job said something, when He's tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Have something to present to Him that glorious day. And by the way, church, Jesus is coming. I've heard a lot of sermons about Him. Heard a lot of songs sing to Him. One day our faith will turn to sight. And we're going to see the one that hung at Calvary and died for us. His watchful eye has been about us our whole life. He's allowed things to happen that has hurt us, but it didn't harm us because it's working for our good. They're going to sing this morning. I'm done preaching. I'd like to open this off. You need any help this morning with a struggle? Won't you come bring it to the Lord? Won't you just open your heart up to Him? Say, God, I need some help in my life. You can come this morning as they sing. This is your time. You come, whatever you need this morning.